This morning's Fallout brought to you by the letter C.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. C is for Citigroup. C is also for common, as in common stock. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning the government may end up holding up to 40% of the company's stock. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
If the government were to buy up Citigroup common stock, that would shore up the bank's wobbly finances at a critical moment. The Federal Reserve is expected this week to perform a battery of stress tests to gauge the financial health of U.S. banks. The money for the government stock purchase would come from the $45 billion in bailout funds already committed to Citigroup. That means it wouldn't cost taxpayers any extra money. On the losing end, Citigroup's current shareholders, whose ownership in the company would be diluted. But banking consultant Bert Ely says even shareholders could benefit from this deal.
Better to own a piece of something that succeeds than to own an even larger piece of something that fails. And that's why they almost have no choice but to go along with this.
Federal officials didn't confirm their plans for Citigroup this morning. The government says it will unveil its revamped program to help troubled banks later this week. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Shares of Citigroup are up about 10% right now. Hey, that means they're trading back above $2 a share. The Dow is up almost 0.5% to 7,399, about 35 points there. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%. The S&P 500 up 0.4% to 773. European markets remain higher, partly due to the Citi chatter, and markets in Asia were mostly higher. President Obama is holding a meeting today to discuss ways to pay down the federal budget deficit. It tops nearly $1.5 trillion and is still growing. Ronnie Radbill reports.
The summit comes on the heels of Washington's multi-billion dollar spending extravaganza. Today's meeting takes a long-term look at shrinking the deficit, reforming things like health care and Social Security. Robert Bixby heads up the conservative Concord Coalition. He says it's important not to pour more cash into these programs.
This is not a matter of, you know, how much more money you were going to invest to try to do these things. It's also going to be how can we constrain the cost? Because right now we have an unsustainable gap between what's been promised and the revenues dedicated to pay for it.
Roger Hickey co-directs Campaign for America's Future. He says health care is the root of our fiscal trouble. Changing the system will save money down the road.
Getting everybody covered under a universal health care system actually can give you the tools to rationalize the whole system and make it work more efficiently.
No matter the approach, everyone agrees it's going to take cutting spending and raising taxes to fix our fiscal problems. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The stimulus package was signed into law last week with a last-minute amendment. Congress added language that bars bonuses for executives of banks that took bailout money. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says it's a symbolic move that won't make much of a difference.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan, you say Congress needs to tackle Wall Street changes that could actually help people hurting most in this economy. All right, so what would you do?
Well, I have three really simple things, two of which involve what I consider credit card abuses that are legal but wrong, and the third involves closing what I think is the biggest and most egregious loophole that shovels tons and tons of money to a select handful of people on Wall Street.
Well, let's start with credit cards. What would you do there?
All right. There's this provision which pretty much says we can do whatever we want to do as long as we give you notice. And one of the nasty little things that happens is if you miss a single payment on a single credit card, suddenly instead of paying 12% interest, which to me is bad enough, you find yourself paying 29.9% interest on all of your cards, and you're just sort of stuck. And that should be made illegal. I don't care how it's done, but that's just wrong. The second credit card thing that drives me absolutely wild is the way that credit card companies, which is to say banks, go fishing for people with troubled finances and try to get them to have cards on the assumption that they'll pay a lot of interest and a lot of fees before they go under, because this whole thing is aimed at people who shouldn't be borrowing.
One of the other things you mentioned was this tax loophole, and I imagine you're mostly talking about people like hedge fund managers that are managing to bring in some major cash despite what's happening to the economy because of the bets they're making.
Exactly. So if you run a hedge fund or a buyout fund and you get a piece of your investor's profit, which is called a carried interest, in most cases, the carried interest that the managers get is taxed like capital gains, which on the federal level is 15% rather than ordinary income, which for these guys would be 35% plus a little bit more for Medicare. I mean, it's just an outrage, and it's been kicking around in Washington for a couple of years, but no one's going to do anything because Wall Street is a source of enormous campaign contributions.
What does it take for something like this to be addressed?
I think it would take a batch of national outrage, and right now I don't see it because I see most people, including on occasion me, worried about survival.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you think Alan's ideas could work? Tell us at marketplace.org. Speaking up apparently made a difference at U.S. Airways. That's right. You can keep your wallet in your carry-on if you want a non-alcoholic drink. The airline will stop charging $2 for soft drinks next month. They will be free again. A pillow and blanket will still cost $7. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Hope your Monday's a good one.
American Public Media.